Welcome to the Functional Health Coaching Show, where we are here to support and answer your questions so that you can help people on a deeper level get real results and grow your health coaching business. Do you have questions you want to ask live on the show? You can call in every Friday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 1-347-637-1378. Are you looking to increase your credibility and grow your health coaching business using functional lab testing and data-driven protocols so that you can confidently solve health issues? Well, we have the course for you. Go to fdn.today/show to learn more and sign up today. Okay, let's join today's episode.
Happy Friday, everyone. This is Brandon Mollet, FDN practitioner, mentor, clinical advisor, just everything FDN. I love what I get to do as far as a mentor and a practitioner, helping folks with their health in a natural way on a deep level. So happy to join with you guys this Friday. Thanks for tuning in again. It's the FDN Fantastic Friday Call, Functional Health Coaching Show, we also call it. And we're proud to be on with you guys each week and talk for an hour, answer questions. I usually have a co-host, and I do again today. So Ryan Monahan, my good friend and colleague here, is with us as well. And we're going to answer questions for you guys today, give you a few updates on a few things. But it's really just helping you guys out with your cases, general questions that you might have, whatever you need. If you're our trainee and you're moving through the course, have questions about some of the things we teach that we can clarify for you. If you're a practitioner out there and you are doing this awesome work and you have questions on a case or supplements or sales or marketing or whatever, happy to help there too. And if you're looking at taking this course and you have a question about it, I guess we can answer those too. So you guys are welcome to call in and say hey. And it'd be great because I don't have a million questions lined out. It's been a little quieter on the Facebook page. You guys must be getting all your questions answered on some of our Zoom calls that we're doing. And I'm not seeing as many posts up there. So, which is a good thing because one of our big goals is to support you guys thoroughly and completely as you're working through the course. And then, of course, on the graduate side there as a practitioner, the AFDMP side. So if I don't have a million questions written in, we must be supporting you guys in some other way. So that's probably a good sign. But if you want to call in and ask a question that you haven't written in about, say hello, add to the conversation. We'd love that. And the number to do that is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. Hit 1 on your keypad. I'll know that you're there. I'll call out your area code, get your name, and then we can talk for a little bit. We usually have a few minutes, and our answers are not usually super brief. So usually we can handle maybe 4 to 5 callers a show. But we'll just see where it goes. But again, thanks for joining us. It is August 28th, 2020. So we're less than 2 months away from the FDN conference coming up at the end of October here in California. Excited to get to go and pumped about just that whole weekend. That long weekend is one of the highlights of the year. So that's coming up real quick. Guys, keep abreast of details, and you've got option here this year. You can do a live and in person, or if you want to, you can do a live stream. So, it's not just listening to the speakers. We're going to have a lot of ways that you're going to be able to interact with people that are there and people that are doing the streaming also. So more than just sitting down and watching videos, it's going to be a lot more involved in that. So that's really cool. We get to offer that up this year. So something where you can't make it or choose not to come in person, then you can do the live stream. So tickets are still available, still spots available. So take advantage of those. FDNconference.com is that website. And again, October 23rd to the 25th this year in San Diego or in your living room or office on your computer, either way. All right. Well, Ryan, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. I'm doing this 5-day fasting mimicking diet. It's a bit challenging. And, you know, it's a caloric restricted diet for about 5 days. And, you know, basically aims to help restore your body, regenerate and accelerate detoxification and generate new healthy cells and kind of clear out some of the cellular debris out of your body. It helps improve insulin sensitivity, all that good stuff that you would expect that comes along with fasting. But I've been, a little bit tired and brain foggy, kind of pushing through. We're doing this with actually a small group of FDN practitioners. It's kind of a little R&D pilot program to test out this Prolon product. And so far, so good. It's been challenging for all of us, I feel. We're about halfway through. But, all in service of the good, all in service of health, ultimately. So it's been interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not intermittent fasting, and it's not just pure like water fasting. It's the fasting mimicking.
Exactly. It's kind of a novel approach because it's about 500 or 600 calories a day. So they call it a fasting mimicking diet. So it's a bit easier to do than a water fast, right? Because you're not jumping right into the deep end like you would with a full out water fast. So in this case, you are allowed a certain amount of calories, but what they found in their research, this company El Nutra that has created this Prolon product, is that up to a certain amount of calories with very specific types of foods, you get the same kind of metabolic benefits as you would doing a prolonged periodic water fast or prolonged longer periods of intermittent fasting. So it's a little bit of the best of both worlds because you do get to have some food, and it's all very laid out very sequentially. It's super convenient the way they actually lay this out, where you have all the foods that you can eat for each day for 5 days. And they make it super easy. You just kind of go through your little box of food each day, and no complaints about the taste for as far as the food goes. Everything's been super delicious, but I am missing my animal protein and my animal fats. It is a plant-based fast. So that's something I've been craving a little bit, but hey, it's only 5 days, so I can definitely take it.
Yep. It is cool how they package things. It really is convenient and takes a lot of the effort out of it. Really, I've been impressed with it. So I told you I was going to sign up and try to do that, but just schedule wise, just wasn't going to work. And so Heather, my wife, is doing it right now. So she's in the middle of it right now too, and she's definitely a protein type, animal products, and mm-hmm. pretty higher fat. So it is a shift for her. You got the times when you feel really good and times when you don't feel as terrific. But, we talked about this on the call a lot of times. We tend to like to want everything to be nice and comfortable. We don't ever want to feel like we're hungry or have an uncomfortable seat to sit in or the temperature of the room to be not perfect. So those stressors, those little stressors we have in the body with something like this and the benefit there, long-term especially, far outweighs the short-term sacrifice. And you learn things, through a process like this, fast and things that I've done. Sort of puts your body there kind of second for a little bit and says, hey, you can break some of those, what you really call them, really maybe strongholds or just kind of these habits we get into where we trained our body to want a certain thing and want that, just to kind of remind your body, I think, hey, we can do things differently. We can reset a little bit. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And it's, very much, I take a nothing ventured, nothing gained approach. And, we can't always do the same things we're doing and expect results, right? So, pressure makes diamonds, right? So sometimes when we're looking for gains or advantages, it's not always going to be easy. And it can require some sacrifice for sure.
Yep.
Well, awesome. The quote of the day for me is that, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a true statement.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Well, cool. We're excited about seeing the updates there on our personal Facebook group as everybody's going through it and benefits and changes, things they're seeing there. And then I'm getting to see it firsthand. So we're doing at home schooling and doing a fasting mimicking diet at the same time. So that makes for a lot of fun. that's sarcastic.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
But it's good. Good. All right. Well, maybe you can hang in there
cool.
for the rest of the call. We've got 50 minutes there, and we'll answer some questions for you guys. But before we do that, we always want to congratulate graduates of the course, those of you guys who made it through and are certified now and ready to start helping folks the FTN way. And it's something that happens super quickly. So once you complete your final practical here with me most of the time. Shannon's helping out some too with that, Shannon Plummer. But once you complete that, you're good to go. So you're out there running laps, as we like to say, within a couple days. So we don't hold you back. There's not anything more you have to do. So these people here, when I get to say that, I remind them of that. They're like, oh, wow, really? Cool. Okay, awesome. So I think it's a surprise sometimes. These folks here will be jumping out there and running some labs here really soon on folks. And a lot of you guys coming into the course have people you've been doing a good job talking about the certification that you're taking. And you've got lots of people lined up that want to run a lab, so you've got a really good start there from the beginning to start to work out the kinks and the logistics and also to build a word-of-mouth referral right from the very beginning. So those people that have a good experience with you, they're going to tell their friends about you. That's the goal, right? And with FDN, results are not quite guaranteed, but rates of really good results are super, super high. So there's not many folks I've ever worked with that didn't have a pretty dramatic and major improvement in health with going through the program, working through just the basics of FDN. So building a word-of-mouth and a referral-based practice, I think it's very easy to do because it works. It's not a hit or miss thing or maybe this will work. It does work super, super well. So people get good results, and then if you find something good, you tend to tell people about it. So I'm excited for these big folks here. We got three of them this week. Can see California, Wyoming, and Colorado today. So we've got Yvonne Martin.
Colorado.
She's from California. Yes. Yep, and then Cherie Gustafson from Wyoming, so kind of out that way too. And then Nicole Ritter, and she's from Wheat Ridge, Colorado. I don't know where that is, but she is from Colorado, so maybe we can Google map that, see if it's anywhere near you, Ryan.
Well, guess what, Brandon? I live in Wheat Ridge, Colorado.
Oh, my goodness. We've got two FDNs in one town. How great. Really? Okay.
I'm
all right. Well, Nicole's there too.
Make sure I'm going to have to introduce myself to her. Yep. Yeah, Wheat Ridge is actually a neighborhood of Denver.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So we had connected with Nicole. We had a great conversation during her final. So tremendous. So
cool.
Ladies, great job. Congratulations.
Awesome.
Tremendous. There's always a delay on that. I'm trying to get a little better with that delay on that applause, guys. Sorry. But good job. Great, great. Job, ladies. We're excited for you.
Congrats, everybody.
Oh, super cool. All right. Ryan, anything I'm forgetting, big announcements, anything like that going on right now? I think I checked the list and we were looking pretty good.
I think you did a good job. Yeah, you hit on the conference points. Made sure to remind everyone that the conference is a virtual option. So, got to continue to spread the word on that because there's going to be plenty of value for attending that from home if you can't make it in person. I think you hit on everything, Brandon.
Cool. All right. Well, good. We have plenty of time then for questions. So, guys, lines are open for that. So, see a lot of you guys there live with us. That's tremendous. And if you want to ask a question, the beginning is the best time because sometimes we have long answers and we get down to time, and it's hard sometimes to answer a question in a couple minutes. So, starting off with questions is great. Just hit 1 on your keypad. Number is 347 637 1378 is the number, and again, one in the keypad. You can come on, say hello, or ask a question. We're happy to have you do that. All right, so I'm going to start at the top of the list here. So our question sheet is dwindling down, which is a good feeling. We'll have to refresh that here. So first question we'll start out with here. Okay, so this is a question on the comparison worksheet. So she said she's working on her third practical here in the course. And it says, when it comes to listing the client's main complaint, would I include everything or anything that assigned a number rating to on their medical history or just the main complaint listed at the top? Maybe a good way to phrase this question is, you know, how many of the persons that you're coming to work with you, how many of their main complaints do you focus on? What's going on at the top of the list there? What are the main things that you want to focus on? Because with our intake forms, we ask a person to rate many, many, many symptoms. And so depending on who you're working with, you might have a person that has a lot, you know, on a scale of 0 to 5, 5 being the highest, you might have a person that has 50 symptoms that they would actually truly rate at a 5. And I've worked with those people, and I'm sure you have too, that just they're just very, very symptomatic, and they're really suffering, not doing very well. So their total number of points are, you know, in the hundreds, and there's just, wow, what do I focus on first? You know, what do I do? So that is a challenge because you want to be understanding and caring of their situation. And as far as they know, they're only gauged for progress that they have, you know, their symptoms, how they feel. Yes, we want to bring in that element of lab testing and knowing what's going on the underlying side of things, but ultimately when the body functions better, symptoms go away. That's the kind of the crux of it. So you focus on the underlying malfunctions, and when the body's functioning better, body works better, symptoms aren't needed because the body says, hey, everything's good. There's no feedback there from the body that we need. So you want to be aware that their big gauge here for progress, how they're doing, how the programs are working, is symptoms. So we don't want to ignore symptoms. But at the same time, you don't want to have a list of 25 symptoms that you have to check on and go through every single time that you talk with them, because we don't want to focus too much on the symptoms because, Ryan, you know this very well too, sometimes people can feel better within the first few days or weeks and, you know, they could feel tremendously better. Big shifts can happen very quickly, but also it can take a few months before things are realized, or it's a slower process. It's not so dramatic. It's more of a every week we're getting better and better and better. So if we focus on symptoms too much, then that's not a good thing. Well, if we don't focus on them at all, we could seem uncaring and just really focused on the labs and the functional side. So it's finding this balance here. Brian, have you had that experience trying to find balance between the two?
Yeah, I could not agree more. I tend to think of it in two ways. In terms of the client's main health challenges or main complaints, it's okay to occasionally throw someone some life support, throw them a life preserver. In terms of intelligent allopathy and relief care, right, to help them start to feel better as soon as you can possibly help them, right? So For example, if a client's dealing with constipation, you might throw them some, you know, magnesium citrate or some natural calm to help kind of get things moving, right? But at the same time, that doesn't tell you what the underlying cause is, right? And it's usually going to be a factor, you know, it's going to include diet and lifestyle. It's going to include gut dysfunction and leaky gut and all those things that we look at and investigate. And so as long as you make the client aware that, like, hey, there's kind of this short-term relief care approach, but then there's this longer-term, more sustainable approach of actually addressing things at the root cause level and restoring function back to the body is ultimately the end goal. And then teaching the client how to preserve or maintain that optimal health, right? So one thing I'll often explain to a new client that I've just taken on right from our very first session is that, hey, you know, symptoms are kind of superficial. In a sense, they don't actually matter that much. I mean, of course it matters to the client if they're feeling terrible. But what I mean is that they don't matter in the sense that symptoms are the last thing to occur in a disease process. Right? And if we're narrowly focused on addressing the symptoms, then we're really just practicing in the realm of conventional medicine or in that conventional model of treating or suppressing symptoms, which we're definitely not in the game or business of doing. So I'm always trying to start with teaching my new clients some of these foundations and some of the philosophies that underpin or underlie the functional approach so that they have a new lens of understanding to look at health through, because we're so used to addressing things at the symptom level. So it seems very counterintuitive to say to somebody that, hey, you know, don't get too hung up on the symptoms. You know, we want to look at your gut health, your detoxification pathways, your metabolic type, all these things that they may not be familiar with, right? But that's the level that we want to work on. And, you know, in that sense, it can help us too as practitioners to not get overwhelmed when we see a client with a laundry list of symptoms that are all a 5 out of 5, right? Because the same inherent fundamental principles of diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction are going to help that person and to put them back, you know, to help to reverse the metabolic chaos, right? And in a sense, you're teaching the client, hey, you know, every choice you make with your diet and lifestyle has an impact on whether you're stressing out your system or not, right? So a simple way of saying that is, you know, every choice you make either contributes to stress or contributes to vital reserve or to restoring function, right? And I think that's, you know, how I would kind of think about that, just in terms of those different approaches of symptom relief versus actually making long-term progress and restoring function down to the cellular level.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a big part of it, re-educating or just educating. I guess it could be re-educating too. It's a big part of what we do as practitioners. So we're educators. It's a big part of the time we spend there. Yes, it's analyzing, putting together a good plan and helping them walk out that plan, but you've got to pepper those conversations with a little bit of the principles and the understanding of what we're really doing. And that also will create reasonable expectations for the program too. And we don't say, hey, you're going to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks and you're going to, you know, have reduction in symptoms here in a couple of days. You're going to feel great, which is, you know, what a lot of other products out there would do, like these quick fixes for weight loss or even with pharmaceuticals. It's what the expectation is, oh, I need something for this. Well, here you go. Here's your pill. And then, you know, a day later or two later, you're going to have that symptom's going to be gone. So it's saying, okay, that's okay on some level, but we've got to go deeper than that if you want lasting true effect. And really not, a false sense of security. So just because you found a combination of medications that helps control, I'll put that in quotation marks, your blood sugar, and something to help prop up your thyroid, and something for hormonal imbalance that's going on. So a statin drug, so your blood sugar looks okay. The statin drug has put your cholesterol at an okay range as far as the doctor is looking for. Thyroid scores look, you know, kind of okay because you're propping those up, and your estrogen was low. Now it's in range because you're doing bioidenticals. You might feel really good on that, but have you truly built health and ask why those were off or low or imbalanced in the first place? I think it's sort of a false sense of security that we can get lulled into, that, hey, my numbers are good and I feel okay, but really it's much deeper than that.
I love that you called that a false sense of security. That's a fantastic way to put it, because, you know, symptoms may be uncomfortable, but if we suppress them too much, then we're ignoring the cries in a sense from our body that something is wrong, right? We're ignoring those signals. And in a sense, like we want to listen to those signs. They're like, sometimes I'll try to put it in terms of a modern analogy that my clients can relate to, and I'll say that symptoms are like text messages from your body. You know, your body's trying to tell you something's wrong. Something's wrong with the engine, right? You've got to look underneath the hood. And what I want to do here in Denver is buy a billboard and just fill it up with the words, "Symptoms are not the problem; they are the result of the problem," so that thousands of people can see. That's like just the main message, I think, that it really encapsulates what we do or how we understand things, right?
Yes. Yes. I think fundamentally people believe that and know that to be true. Because when I say that phrase or phrases like that, especially on an onboarding or enrollment call for somebody, we're excited about that. They're like, yes, exactly. That's exactly how I see things.
Yeah.
I think it resonates with people on a deep level.
I do. I get the very similar reactions when I ask, I'll ask for feedback. I'll say, does this make sense? And I'll get a head nod and say, yeah, absolutely. This makes, complete and total sense. It's just kind of common sense. And when you really break it down for people, it's often the case that no one's ever broken it down that way or explained it to somebody.
And we know this.
Yep.
We get to do that.
And that's why we can help change lives. I often say, I wish in my early 20s and mid 20s, when I was really dealing with my own personal health crisis, that I wish I had an FDN helping me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, back to the question here. It was, what do we assign a rating to? What do we list on there as far as main complaints? I've heard Reed talk about maybe their top complaint or their top three complaints, maybe extend it to five. You just don't want to get too many that you feel like you've got to almost like, hey, Ryan, if you don't complete this list and reverse and make these eight symptoms go away, then we didn't have success. That's kind of the slippery slope you can get into if you focus on too many main complaints. So it might be something where you say the top three or maybe the top five health complaints they have, pick those. And that can be a couple ways you can do that. It can be the highest number rating there. If you've got somebody that has maybe mostly fours and not many fives, you pick the ones that are fives. Or I personally like to ask that person, once I ask them, okay, let's tell me what you want to work on, what you want to be better. And that list will often be, it could be 20 things, right? So I like to let the person kind of talk a little bit, let them kind of work through some of these things, because sometimes and the reason I do that is because I think people sometimes, and that gets us men and women both, they downplay some of their symptoms. So I see this often. So on the little intake form, I'll work with, have people fill out the contact form, ask you a few questions on my website. They'll say, well, yeah, I want to lose some weight and I have some inflammation. I'm like, okay, well, that's pretty simple, going into that call. And then once you ask them about, hey, what do you want to see improved? What are your main health complaints? Why are you calling me? Whatever kind of phrase there. Those will be in there, but probably 15 other things, and actually some things I think are probably more significant and more life-altering and more important to focus on than just the couple things that they listed. So it's good, to go ahead and let that person talk. And then I like to say, okay, well, if we could, wave a magic wand here, if we can have everything, your health change overnight, what are the top two or three things that you'd like to see change? Let's really hone in on, okay, what is affecting my life the most? Because it's not so much, what you see in the mirror so much is I really want to say what's affecting your life the most. Because if the person is going to commit and make changes, then there has to be something behind it that is motivating them. So if the person, whatever goal is fine, but let's say the person wants to lose 10 pounds, all right. Okay, that's cool. That would be a nice thing to do. Sure, we almost want to be at our goal weight and feel like we feel very good. But this is probably not something that's affecting their job and their family and their finances and their future. But if somebody comes to you with needing to lose 100 pounds, or has extreme inflammation throughout their whole body all the time. They miss work because of it. They're worried about their health, so they're very anxious. They can be very depressed, affecting their family, affecting their relationship with their spouse. So much of life is being affected by that. That's the big symptom. So if you had to help a person kind of narrow it down, it's going to be the thing that has the most effect on their life in a negative way. And that's what I would put more toward the top, because that's going to have the biggest ripple effect on their health. If you can really address the underlying causes of that symptom, it's going to have a huge effect on their life for, you know, years to come. So you can just ask the question and have them think about that and talk through that with them. And that could be your really top complaint that you will, like I do with each coaching session, I want to ask about their main complaints every single time I talk with them. I'm not going to shy away from those. There is a gauge of progress for them. I want to see that those are starting to shift along with the other changes and signs and shifts that I'm seeing as far as things I'm picking up on as a practitioner that they might not. So we're always checking that gauge of progress. Do we need to change anything? Is everything working well? Is there any course correction needed? No. I'm feeling better. Everything is moving in a good way. They're working in all the things we recommended. It's going really good. They have a good attitude about that. Those coaching sessions, follow-up calls like that are great. I'm like, okay, this person's moving forward like we need to. If those things aren't there, or those more problems or challenges, then okay, we've got to kick into a coaching mode. We've got to make a few changes, some course correction, make some adjustments potentially, but not too quickly, because things can take a little bit of time too. I go about that. That's like ask that person, because it is ultimately what equals and equates success with working with me for them. What is that? Because there's a level of psychological customer satisfaction. I don't know if it's a good word for it, but what do they feel like is going to be success? What's success going to look like working with me? And we want to try to get there as much as we possibly can within the bounds of what we have to work with.
All super good points. And Brandon, one thing I'll often do with each successive client meeting, after we're getting started, we get moving, we're running labs, we start checking in every couple of weeks or so. And I like to ask the question, what are your big wins since the last time we talked? What has improved? Right? Because if you don't kind of steer the direction of the call, sometimes a client might immediately launch into all the things that they're, negatively experiencing and all the symptoms that they're experiencing. I just think it's human nature to kind of emphasize your headwinds and to not take notice of your tailwinds or the things that are going right. So you can kind of, knowing that, you can kind of help to reframe and help the client to refocus on the things that are improving, right? Because, sometimes progress can be slower. We always try to move people in the direction of healing as quickly as possible. But I always like to ask that question just to kind of keep the conversation positive and light. Sometimes you'll have a client that will say, "Oh, I guess now that I think about it, I'm sleeping really well, and I haven't even thought about that," right? And so they may not even have brought that up if you didn't ask the question. Again, I just think it's human nature, right? And sometimes the change can be subtle, and we don't even remember, how we felt maybe a month ago. So that can be a helpful little tip there, just kind of checking in with the client, see what's going right. And of course, you can give them an opportunity to also discuss what isn't going right, but I just always like to start there to kind of keep the conversation positive.
Yes, very good point. You're right. We forget how bad we once felt. That's for sure. We do. So that's why I like to have that record where you do fill out symptom points and you see those numbers change. You can look back at that or at your old notes and how things when they started with you. And point out those victories and also keep in mind as a practitioner, we didn't promise. I guess to say we didn't promise that all of their symptoms would go away in 3 months. Or a 6 months package or whatever that you're working with or program with a person as well. So keep in mind the other side of the coin is that you're educating them. So once they stop working with you, they're going to continue to realize more and more improvements with their health if they maintain their good dress protocol that they, you guys carved out, worked out, figured out, observed what works for them. So you continue to have improvement. You know, my health is great and continues to improve and be better. And it's been 10 years since I had my initial labs ran with FCN and worked with my mentor there. So the things I learned about myself, I carry those on and use those every single day. And because I know that's what my body needs to work well and to function well and feel good.
Yep, so even something
the gift
like
that keeps on giving.
That's right. Yeah, even something like discovering that you have a gluten sensitivity, you know, just that one change alone of reducing that constant source of inflammation in your system and, you know, knowing what foods you do and don't do well with, that alone can be huge in terms of, you know, keeping your body in shape in terms of, you know, optimal metabolic function and physiology. Mm-hmm. Well, my hope doesn't happen 100% of the time, but my hope is that what I can impart onto a client in terms of what they take with them is that, you know, that they experienced some of these positive changes and that they want to stay that way. Right. And that they don't want to flip back into how they used to feel. I know I don't, I would never want to go back to that. Right. So I don't even think of many of these things, as sacrifices, right? Like eliminating certain inflammatory foods, for example, that could be a touchy point for some people who, you know, maybe like to have a few drinks on the weekend, maybe have a little cheat meal with some dairy or gluten. But unfortunately, most people will pay the price for that, right? And I just don't want to pay that price anymore personally. You know, I want to feel good as much as possible. That is much more valuable to me than a moment of some indulgence, right? So, you know, I'm always kind of looking at in terms of the trade-offs.
Indeed. That's an empowering thing to know that, because I think some people come into working with you and they don't know what makes them feel bad. And you figure out what makes them feel bad, and then they can make a choice at that point. So, you know, hey, if you have that meal, pizza and beer, you're going to feel like crap for 3 days. And if you're cool with that, that's fine. Free country. I don't want anybody to tell me what I have to eat or not eat. We want to be freedom. I have freedom to make our choices. But at least you have the knowledge and information. So if you eat that and you feel bad and you can't figure out why, that's a tough place to be in. But if I remember that, my lab tests I did with Ryan showed that gluten was an issue and dairy was an issue, and we worked this out before, and I noticed when I was off those for 3 months, I felt amazing, and okay, well, I can get back on the horse. I can turn this thing around. I can police myself and choose to eat or behave or live a different way. And there's the freedom in that, and that's what we do. I think it's just knowing my metabolic type was a huge thing for me. Just knowing that pretty much no matter where I go to eat, I can usually find things that fit closely toward those macronutrient ratios that feel best for me. So I know that most places I go, it may not be the best quality food exactly what I'm eating, used to eating, my body enjoys, but I know at least I'm going to feel decent after that meal because I've fueled my body with the right fuel mixture, for example. So,
yep.
Educating and empowering, that's a whole lot of what we do. And so take the pressure off yourself. So as far as practitioners go, take the pressure off yourself. Just do FDN. Go through the system, address what you know to address, teach, show somebody, and you do it as quickly and efficiently as you can. And that person then has a choice to make at the end of that program. If they need more time with you, or they're ready to move on and do their thing, and you've done your job. And that's the big thing. We've promised to interpret some lab results and put together a good plan for them, educate them, and that's what we promise. To be there for them 100% that way. The result, that's going to be up to several other factors. But generally, most everybody that I know, Ryan and I work with, it's good results. They're super happy. Most vast majority of problems are resolved, and they're feeling awesome and great, and that affects them and their family and maybe generations to come.
Well put.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah. cool stuff. So, all right. So let's see. We got about 20 minutes left in the call. That was question number one, but it really does delve into a lot of other areas there. So hopefully you're getting a feel for the way that we think as far as FTM practitioners go. If you're just you're looking to maybe work with a practitioner, you're on this podcast here, you picked it up, and how does an FTM practitioner work? How do they think? There's some major insight into our minds when we're working with you. Are you thinking about taking the course? You want to be taught to think this way. You know, that's huge, right, to be able to immediately go to these things and be able to help a person really quickly. And hopefully we're reminding you guys of the principles of FTN as you are moving through the course. And these should be coming up in your conversations with people and coming up in your practicals. And we're hearing those spoken out, and those that way of thinking just gets totally ingrained. It's the only way that you can really work, to think through those things. Those principles are the foundation. Okay, well, I've got a few minutes left. I've got a hand raised now. All right. Awesome. So let's see. Let's see if 916 area code. Let's see if you're there. So 916, what's your name, 916?
Yeah, this is Michael.
Hello, Michael.
So I had a question regarding supplements, and I'm working through my first practical, and I'm good with, you know, detoxification, adrenals, and digestion, but when it comes to supporting the hormones, I kind of am a little bit confused when to use, you know, estrogen blockers, progesterone, DHEA, licorice root, and these things. So I've gone through all the modules, and I'm still a little bit confused as to like when to, what formulas to use to increase testosterone, which ones to do to decrease progesterone, and et cetera.
Gotcha. Good question there. Yeah. So Michael, what's your last name, if I may ask?
Angel.
All right. Awesome. Michael, good to meet you. I think I've seen you there on maybe the Facebook page a few times. So good question. So it'd be a tough one to answer maybe completely on the call here, but I think just general principles here. So when it comes to hormones, so, you know, balance is the key. And even though we a lot of times have the opportunity to use like some hormone drops, some bioidentical support, kind of pro-hormones, there's some of those precursor hormones there, the whole program we do doesn't hinge up on that. So if it's something where in the lab results you don't see the open door, open window to use something like that, it doesn't have to be used. I think a lot of people moving through the course feel like that somehow we have to find a way to use hormone drops. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you said that, but I just hear it very often. So it's not always something that we do. It's going to be appropriate to that person's history, their symptoms, the lab results, the numbers that we're seeing. So I like to take more of a bird's eye view kind of approach to the looking at a hormone panel. And that's, first of all, to look at the cortisol side of things and see, basically, do we have, you know, high or low cortisol? So is this person in a really stressed out state where they're responding really well to stress, producing a lot of cortisol, or are they not really responding very well at all and producing just a smaller amount of cortisol? So what's the overall state of this person? Because many times you'll see connections between cortisol and the rest of the hormones. So a lot of times a person is in a depleted state as far as cortisol goes. Most of the time you see a big depletion there on all the other hormones in addition. So I like to look at the bird's eye view when it comes to cortisol and then hormones as well. So if I see a person that has over or across the board low hormone levels, I have no problem in most cases trying to give that person some support, you know, things to boost overall. The second scenario you'll see most common probably is low hormone levels. That's the most common, I would say. Second would probably be more of the estrogen dominant side of things, where you've got a person that, you know, relative to progesterone and testosterone, high levels of estrogen. And so we have an imbalance between estrogen and these other hormones, which can lead to symptoms and other problems. So I'm looking for that. So for using things to help to detox estrogen, that's a common scenario, I think, that we try to do there. So things like DIM, liver support, looking at xenoestrogens, things like that, we're trying to support and detox estrogen. Along with that, a lot of times, depending on the scenario, you might use some progesterone, bioidentical progesterone, to help sort of raise, in a way, progesterone, and then also to detox estrogen to get a better balance. usually it's something that's maybe a few months that you do that, and then that has a balancing effect, and the body's looking really good. Low testosterone, low DHEA, it definitely can be a scenario there. We don't do direct testosterone replacement, and typically not really estrogen either, right? So that's falling, a lot of those are falling into the prescription side of things. With that scenario, I don't have a problem using some of the kind of testosterone-boosting herbs, even things like DHEA and pregnenolone. That can help support and raise testosterone. So you will do some level, kind of like our first question we're talking about, you do some level of looking at the individual levels and saying, hey, maybe we need to do some things here that could support this person a little bit. But ultimately, it all majorly comes from everything else that we're doing, because the hormones are sort of downstream from everything else for most scenarios. So if you've got all the, like you mentioned in the beginning, you can understand the detox, the gut support, we know the diet side of things, rest, exercise, all those things are probably going to have a more of an effect on bringing hormone balance than any kind of really supplement or hormone we could possibly put into the system. Yeah, it could help with immediate relief care and improve a person, but it's everything collectively that we're doing that really, I think, has the biggest impact. Did you have a certain scenario you had in mind that you wanted maybe to address, or is that general enough principles to help you out there?
No, that's perfect principles to start with. I guess my scenario is exactly what you described, estrogen dominance and low DHEA and testosterone, and I was just kind of curious. I know DIM is really great. You improve the liver's function and the ability to recycle these hormones and get rid of them is going to help the estrogen dominance, but from a perspective of trying to increase the testosterone through the programs methods, I couldn't really uncover too many that I responded to. So you're saying DHEA and pregnenolone, depending on the person's results, may increase testosterone along with some herbs.
Yeah, it might. So like in the scenario you have there where you have a situation where you have on the higher estrogen side, DHEA drops or tablets, those have the potential to not only raise testosterone, but eventually raise estrogen. So when you have high estrogen levels in the beginning, it's good. Probably, I would say, unless they're just barely high, maybe not even use any DHEA and just support liver function and estrogen detoxification. And almost like a seesaw effect, by supporting the estrogen, testosterone will come up naturally. Right, what's your take on that? Were you going to say something? I thought I heard you say something.
Sure. I was just kind of giving you a verbal head nod. But one thing I would add to that is that's a pattern that I see quite a bit, is when you see elevated estradiol and you see testosterone and some of those other androgens low, I'm always seeing that, like Brandon said, I'm always thinking about kind of the bird's eye view too, and in addition to getting down to some of the nitty gritty. But if you see that pattern of high estrogen, low testosterone, high estrogen, that can often be a clue for chronic systemic inflammation. So what can happen there is, under the presence of inflammation, your testosterone can get converted into estrogen through an enzyme called aromatase. Right. So under the presence of inflammation, it upregulates that aromatase enzyme, which causes your body to convert testosterone to estrogen, thus depleting your testosterone and raising your estrogen. So in that case, you can use some intelligent allopathy to help try to increase testosterone and some DIM to lower estrogen. But if you're not addressing the underlying inflammatory pattern, then, the results could be varied there, right? So you'd want to be thinking bigger picture of things that can drive inflammation, between, poor diet and lifestyle, to infections showing up on the GI map, right? Like correlating the Dutch to other sources of inflammation on other tests and that sort of thing. So, that sort of gets a little more nuanced, and also gets into this idea too of just one recommendation I would consider going forward, is really, really study, you can find a bunch of them on Google. I'm sure there's some in the FDN documents folder, but really understanding and studying the hormone tree and how everything metabolizes in terms of our hormones in the body. Right. So another example is that progesterone is a precursor to cortisol. So if you had someone with low progesterone and your aim was to help raise progesterone and give them some bioidentical progesterone drops, well, that could be a problem if their cortisol's high, right? Because you could be inadvertently feeding into that cortisol pathway even further. So you do have to, just be mindful and consider some of these relationships between the hormones when you're using hormones, hormone drops and bioidenticals. And I would echo what Brandon said earlier that, I don't use hormone drops all that often, probably less than 10% of the time. You know, I'm often doing what I can in terms of addressing things holistically with DRESS, considering how inflammation can throw off your hormones, how gut dysfunction can throw off your hormones. You might, for example, see a pattern of overall elevated hormones across the board. That could be a sign that the liver and detoxification pathways need a lot of help because your liver breaks down hormones, right? It breaks down. That's ultimately where our excess hormones get broken down. So if all the hormones are elevated, that might tell you that the liver's congested, right? So, you know, kind of thinking about some of those broader bird's eye view patterns too, in terms of how you're looking at a systems approach and not getting always too much into trying to nudge or move each individual hormone in a certain direction. But I guess to kind of tie a bow on that, to be thinking of always asking the question, why, why is progesterone low? Is it a thyroid issue? Is it gluten sensitivity? You know, there's a connection there with low progesterone. With that high estrogen, low testosterone, is it an inflammatory pattern? So, and these things come with time, not to say you'll be able to identify all these things overnight, but, you know, as you practice more and start getting your hands dirty with clients, you'll start to kind of memorize more of these little patterns and associations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one of the harder things to really get a good grasp on, I'd say. I think things like diet and gut work and detoxification, hormones are always the one that kind of comes together and congeals at the very end, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And oftentimes, hormones can, I'm sorry.
Oh, go for it, Ryan. Fine.
Oh, was just going to, add one thought to what you said that, you know, oftentimes hormones can very, very much resolve themselves to a large extent through, you know, optimizing the diet, getting people to get good sleep and rest and getting them more movement and stress reduction, meditation, you know, sauna, all those good tools that we have
but
at
Ryan,
our disposal. Yep.
Ryan, can I just do a testosterone shot? Isn't that a lot easier?
See, that's the thing. People are looking for that quick fix. And, mm-hmm. That kind of ties back to how we started the conversation today that, could give us a false sense of security doing a testosterone shot if we're not really addressing the root cause of why testosterone is low, right? So, wouldn't be my preferred approach. You know, I would rather do some strength training to help raise testosterone, maybe making sure I'm getting enough zinc in the diet, even a nettle, the herb nettles or stinging nettles can be helpful. I've seen research to support that sunlight, even those, it was a recent, at the last FDN conference, I forgot who brought this up. It might've been Dr. Kerry Jones from the Dutch lab that brought up a study that showed that, those, little light boxes, they're like less than $100. It produces like 10,000 lux or lumens of light, and using that for 20 minutes in the morning, especially like in the fall and the winter when you're not getting outdoors as much, it could increase testosterone by something like 30 or 50% in just like a 2-week period. So that I always thought that was kind of fascinating and shows you even how you know, important light is for our health. Something that can be underestimated, but, you know, makes sense. Humans were arguably spending much more time outdoors than we do now. And I see sunlight as very much as like a nutrient that can support hormones.
Mm-hmm. Also, no specific wavelength
yeah,
of
so
light there.
I think that's all.
Yeah. So some of these things,
ahead,
you know,
Michael.
They're long-term approaches.
We kind of took over there. So.
Yes. we like our little tangents.
We do.
Yeah.
We
so, do. I mean, I guess where I was coming from is trying to create a supplement protocol for this first practical with this patient who's got estrogen dominance and he's got low testosterone. In my personal life, like there's tons of modalities, the infrared sun, you know, getting your reproductive organs out in the sun, and then mm-hmm. things like desiccated beef liver and nutrient dense organ meats and things like that can be really great for testosterone. But as far as like trying to create a protocol, I would tend to lean towards more detoxifying the liver, especially if he's got, you know, a positive indican and he's got lipid peroxides and urinary bile acids. Like that's where in my mind, I feel if you clean those things up, the hormones will kind of take into balance. But on my first practical, I just kind of wanted to make sure that I wasn't, you know, going to get docked for not doing some sort of hormone balance therapy.
No. I think it was one of those things where there's many right protocols is what it comes down to. There's
not one
protocol we're looking for. Yeah. There's many ways to do it. And it's wherever you feel most comfortable as a practitioner. And ultimately you have to pick a pathway and start to walk down it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if all those signs and symptoms are moving in a good direction, you're seeing all that. If you do some spot testing and look at some things, hey, you know that it's working and that was enough for that person. So I think you do what you think. And then, you know, course correction is part of what we do also. So it's kind of expected. There will be some course correction through that process. So so kudos to you for wanting to put together a great protocol and kind of do what you think that we're looking for. But there is definitely some art and science to this. There's some gray areas when it comes to this. It's a combination of things that come together, and ultimately you have to, again, pick a path and start to walk down that and see where that leads.
Yeah, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, too, but I think it's ultimately about demonstrating your grasp of correlating the labs to the client and demonstrating that you understand these kind of some more foundational principles. And there are many different ways to skin a cat, but all roads lead to dress.
True. So, yeah. So I think you'd do great, Michael. I think you got a good grasp of things, sounds like there. You're already doing, sounds like, from what I can remember there, pretty good interpretation of what's going on. And just lay that out. Have a good time with the session. And we're not looking for perfection on these practicals. So there'll be lots of feedback. We'll talk about the case together. You'll get some good tips and learn as you go.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Brandon, I did my verbal final with you, actually.
I think we did, didn't we? I have to look back and see.
We did?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And you,
I don't think
you were
I had
really
any
great
recommendations
about
for you. You aced it.
Well, you were also a really great mentor and great at kind of leading me through the process of that. You know, I think that some there's just going to be a kind of like ice cold silence on the other side of the phone, right? But like you said, there's a lot of there's interaction and feedback as you go, and some kind of leading questions, right, to help you kind of remind you to look at certain patterns and things. So it was definitely way less scary than I thought it would be.
Practicals are all fun. I think we all kind of put them off. There's some apprehension with the practicals, but we've got great mentors, you know, very caring, good teachers. You won't get yelled at at all. We'll just help you think through some things. And most of the time, honestly, the course is solid enough. The videos recover so many things so well in there. And, you know, our trainees are awesome. They really want to do a great job, not just because they want to perform with the course, but they know that it's important things they're working with, the people's health. So there are people usually, I've said, of very high integrity. They want to do a great job. almost to a fault, to where we overthink things, to where we kind of get analysis paralysis and put off some of those practicals and want to do things so perfect. So watch out for that trap, everyone, and just jump out there and do it. Prepare. You'll have prepared plenty. Prepare. Jump in there and do it. It's going to be fun. You're going to have a good time. You're going to learn a lot about your abilities and what you've got understanding of, what you have a good grasp on. And we'll give you, again, great feedback. And it'll be a lot of fun. So Michael, enjoy that. And thanks for calling in with the question. Great question there. Hopefully we helped on that one. And countdown's on here. So call is about to end. Hey, we got through a couple questions, but that's all right. It's not quantity or quality over quantity today. So to our graduates, Yvonne, Cherie, and Nicole, congratulations again. Michael, thanks for the call and the question. And boy, Ryan, as always, thanks for your insight and your contribution here today. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me, as always.
And happy fasting. So you got a few more days.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
We'll hang in there. So
yeah, next week right, I'll thanks for being report on my experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There we go. Yep. Exactly. Full report. That sounds good. Good plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, and we'll get a report from Ryan on his fasting mimicking diet experiment. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Awesome. Bye-bye.